I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Down the blind, Andrew Johns. Inside for Elba. Elba will score! Elba will score! Newcastle have won!
Hello and welcome back to Beers and Breakevens for NRL Supercoach Round 3. I'm your host, Tim Williams. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, my sparring partner, my 5'8", Katadad. Kat, how are you?
Hello, hello. It's so great to be back here on Beers and Breakevens. What a weekend.
Kat, it's great to have you back in the chair. Also with us is the man, the myth, the legend, the rugby league guru, or as we like to call him, the Rook. Guru, how are you?
I'm not stoked about this, I'm not going to lie. I didn't like the idea when you came up with it, and I like it even less now. This is fucked. Kid comes in and has one decent week. She doesn't even pick a side properly and takes my chair. This is unbelievable.
The Roo has been demoted to the production table because Kat has come out triumphing on Beers and Breakevens. How does it feel, Kat?
Well, let's just say I'm listening to everything you guys are saying, but I'm just doing the right thing with the information. So I'm just holding the trophy, and while you're at the top, you got to enjoy it because I don't know where I'm going to be next week.
By us, do you mean me?
Yes.
I'd like to also point out that I have no idea what Kat and Maddie are ever complaining about. This shit's easy over here.
Got the ones and twos sorted, mate?
Piece of cake. Absolute piece of cake.
In saying that, I should probably jump back on that desk to keep my job.
All right, all right. We'll do the switch around for now, but look, I like to think this is going to be a permanent setting going forward. Look, it is one of the biggest NRL Supercoach trade weeks of the 2024 season. The reason for that being is that we've had 2 weeks without any price movement. As for any of the first-time Supercoaches out there that don't know the ins and outs of the game, prices don't change in a player until they've played 3 games. We've had a free look at player roles, players' form, player injuries, all sorts of different things. We get some big, big prize movements this week. We're going to deep dive later on in the show into the cheapies and the best cash generation players. But I welcome back into the hot seat, Roo. Good to have you back.
Fuck you, guys. big week, mate. Heap happening. What about that team list?
It's been such a bizarre start to the year. Like, and we'll get to cheapies a bit more later, but round one, the cheapies were terrible. Round two, like even the round one team lists were quite boring comparatively to other years. Round two team list, there are a few cheapies pop up. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then yesterday's ones were shit going on everywhere.
Yeah, it was very chaotic. My, everything I had, like I honestly went in at 3:59 p.m. yesterday. Mm. I sat there and thought, this is great. Everyone's going to boost. I don't need to. I only need to make one trade this week. 4:01, I'm burning the village down. I'm pillaging.
That's right. Monday afternoon, I remember saying to me, I might not have to trade this week. I'm like, what? No. Alternatively, I was sitting there going, geez, I'm going to need to boost, sort a few things out. Then I'm like, I'm looking all right here.
And I'll tell you what, my draft team got absolutely pumped yesterday, Timmy. I was in a bad state last night.
Actually, I was pre-SC Playbook podcast recording with Matty the Waterboy, a few others yesterday, and when I saw those team lists and I saw Wong dropped, Hastings dropped, my mind went to you and I just went, oh, it's going to be a tough afternoon for the Roo.
I think I lost 4 of my top 8 draft picks yesterday. It was brutal. On the bright side, I actually had Jack Cogger on my bench. So I actually got one problem solved, hopefully. But I'll tell you, this is how sad my state of affairs is in Supercoach Draft. I woke up this morning and everyone wavered and whatnot, and there was about 15 players that were dropped that are now available. Two of them were Dylan Walker and Aiden Caesar, and I jumped out of bed excited, thinking I might have my 5'8 here, because compared to Bud Sullivan, Walker seems like Wally Lewis at the moment.
Oh, my goodness. And tough. Nate, how's the draft season started?
Awful. Fucking awful. I'm sitting there last week watching the Sharkies game. Britt Nicker gets a sin bin. And you know what? I was lucky. He should have got sent off, and then he did fuck all for the rest of the game. Then the next game started, and the guy I was playing, Jem, one of my groomsmen, one of the great dickheads of all time, had my boy Isaac Tungo, and he dropped 145 on my melon. Brutal.
Yeah, that hurts, mate.
Into a Nicker injury, Marsu injury. Wong dropped. Apparently Daniel Tupu could fall out of the side as well. So it could go from worse to heaps worse.
For Billy Smith.
Apparently. That's what the Telegraph said. I don't believe it myself. I think that is a bonehead decision, but
Daniel Tupu starts on the wing for every club in the NRL.
Yep.
Probably on the planet, let's be fair.
Yep. Oh. It's wild, insane. Also, worth noting for you Supercoach players out there, obviously I have Kai Pearce-Paul on my draft team, which I love. Named to start, Dylan Lucas not named in New South Wales Cup. So brace yourself.
People went bonkers for, and rightly so, for Pearce-Paul yesterday. The second I saw that and saw Lucas on the extended bench, I didn't know he wasn't named in New South Wales Cup, but I'm like, he's come in and probably starting, and Pearce-Paul's back to the bench as per round one.
Yeah. Because it's worth noting too, like he's jersey 21. I think Jacko's 22. Jackson's been named in New South Wales Cup.
Yeah.
Dylan hasn't. So
they love Dylan Lucas. He's a very good footballer. As I said, he was picked to start round one. He had a concussion. So if he's cleared to come back and he's all good, he's coming back.
Yeah, I think Kai Pearce-Paul is a sniff to hold on to it.
He's a sniff, yeah.
I think it'll be an interesting few weeks because I think they are just lacking through the middle a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me if they use Lucas through there maybe.
How annoying is the Knights playing the last game of the round?
Yeah, it's mayhem.
Yeah, it makes it so difficult.
Yeah.
Also, what a way to round out round three, Sunday night storm night.
Mate, and before that, you got Parramatta Manly. It's the best Sunday of all time. I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's talk about some relevant stuff. We're here for Supercoach.
True.
Enough about my draft team. Mate, I scored on the weekend 955. I'm now ranked 65,437. So shout out to the person that's 65,438. You suck. How are you going, Timmy?
I was just looking at our run sheet and I was like, oh my God, we're the exact same rank. No, I was looking at your rank.
Yep.
Close. I've actually a better week last week, 984 points. Nice. I have skyrocketed into the top 70,000 overall. So 69K.
How good. Nice.
Nice. On the up, and we'll get to it later, but very happy with my side.
And look, announcement, we are looking for a new producer for Beers and Breakevens because our current one fell arse first into a really good score this week and hasn't shut up about it. Take it away, Kat. Talk to us.
Yeah, I don't know if the Rook's the right name.
Anyway. She's calling herself the immortal walking around here.
The crook. She's absolutely she's absolutely robbed us.
The crook, I like that.
Can't wait to make an extra.
The Maguru and the crook.
Yeah.
Our alter egos, I like it. And Wimmy.
Ready for an extra 6K at the end of the year. I got 1,002, which is a bit of a tease, isn't it? Because
you've only raised the bar.
Yeah. And my season rank thus far is 67,318.
Wow. After not picking Nicho Hynes in your 17, setting standards early.
Seriously. So he has a bludge around one, and you say, as you allude to, Guru, you've got standards at Cat HQ.
Yeah.
And you've just said, nah. Pick your game up. You've dropped him. He's performed. And you've said, all right, you get another chance.
Exactly right. And I made the comparison yesterday and I'll make it again. Wayne Bennett and me cut from the same cloth.
Oh, please. All right. That's enough of that for the season. mate, should we get stuck into Teamless Tuesday?
Rip and tear.
Fly through this. Thursday, we've got the Pants and the Bronx going head-to-head. Never called them the Pants before. Probably won't again. Lindsay Smith, he starts for James Fisher-Harris. Eisenhuth on the bench. Garner and Liam Henry on the pine there as well. For the Bronx, Madden at 7. There's a few worries around Payne Haas and Ezra Mann. Both have been named there. Timmy, anything you want to touch on with this game?
Just your boy Liam Henry.
He's interesting.
Yeah. Like with Fisher Harris out, no exact word on him, how long he's out for yet. It doesn't sound like it's serious. He's been cleared of, I think, major sort of structural damage. But if he can miss 3 or 4 weeks, and look, Penrith don't need to rush him back for obvious reasons. Henry started pretty well, 34 and 30 minutes, base 36 and 35 in those games. Obviously, Matty Eisenhuth comes back in. Lindsay Smith gets the start. Do you see him getting an increase in minutes, or do you see it staying around that 30 to 35 mark?
Bro, I never have any idea what's going to happen when Eisenhuth is in the team. Eisenhuth could play 20 or 60.
Yeah.
Like, that's the I really wish it wasn't Eisenhuth that came in. It's a sit and watch for this week, but honestly, with all due respect to all these front row forwards, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. I want to spend my money elsewhere. I want to spend my trades elsewhere. I'll deal with that when the time comes. Sure. So I just don't care. We've got the Friday night games, got the Wars and the Raiders, 6 p.m. coming in from Christchurch. Egan back in, Lussick at 14 for the Raids, Kotrick on the wing, Hopper at centre. We've got Seb Chris dropping out of the side this week, Whitehead on the edge, Hosking to the bench. Yeah, wild, interesting. Not wild, but I just – oh, fuck, I would have seriously considered keeping Hoskin in the starting side.
I'm expecting, based on no word, just at a guess, I think Hoskin still starts. Just based on – Whitehead hasn't played this year.
Yep.
So coming back from injury, Hoskin has been killing it. The Raiders have been on fire. Like, I think Hoskin and Whitehead were going to share minutes anyway. Like, why wouldn't you start Hosking and let Whitehead come back from injury and get some minutes under his belt? I can see him starting come game day. I can also see Whitehead spending some time in the middle. I think, let's say he does start off the bench, Hosking, I think he still comes on and plays probably 50 to 55 minutes.
My worry is that if Hosking does end up starting, I worry that Elliot Whitehead could chew into the minutes of Smithies potentially coming on through the middle.
He definitely could.
Yeah, which could be real
I think shit. Realistically, Smithies played 80 last week. I can see him dropping back to 60 to 65.
Yeah.
I think 65, he'll find. I don't think we'll be getting 80 from him. I think with Whitehead back and spending time likely in the middle, 65 for Smithies and the Red Dog as well. Corey Hall's brought back next week. So
he's playing New South Wales Cup this week, I believe.
Okay.
He was named there. Oh, that's what I was told. I haven't checked that myself.
How's the Raiders
to do any research.
Corey Horsbury, New South Wales Cup, Adam Mariotta back to New South Wales Cup, Trey Mooney, like, you serious?
Actually, whilst we're talking, Timmy, I might just have a look to see if he was named in the front row. I haven't checked this at all. Back at Seaford Oval this week. And I think someone told me a Porky Pie. He is not playing reserve grade. So shout out to that guy.
You know, it's funny.
That makes for good podcasting.
Yeah, it's the NRL, with those suspensions carried over the off-season, I do early mail for the Telegraph and predicted teams and all these sorts of things. And, like, Horsburgh, among about 3 or 4 other players who had suspensions, Waria Hargreaves, there are so many with no clarity. It had Corey back round 4. Then I heard people saying he's back round 3. I'm like, can someone get this right and clarify? Because – yeah, again, I was told he's available this week, but the website says round 4. I don't know what's going on.
And it happens every year.
Yeah.
There's always – anywho. Roosters v South Friday night, probably a big game. Might have heard of it. 8 p.m., Allianz, Roosters, Sandon Smith at 6. Froth that. Watson at 14. Wong out of the team. I repeat, Wong out of – team. Angus on the bench. Extended bench, though. You've got Wong there. He's in about jersey 37. Billy Smith's on there as well. And Michael Jennings, mate, gets a gig. Played New South Wales Cup last week. One of the great comebacks of all time. So shout out to Michael Jennings. A very good effort to get back there. For the South Sydney Rabbitohs, Jackie Boy, Whiten at centre, Milne on the wing, Hawkins at 7, David Mwale, he starts this week, Host on the edge, Duncan bench. So I'm hoping that everything we spoke about with Cam Murray not playing 13 was simply because Jacob Host wasn't available. Fucking surely, right?
You'd think so.
Have to.
Yeah. So they'll be much better side with Cam back in the middle. 4 middle forward bench, what that means for minutes for, like, I know Kepi back to the bench now. Kepi owners won't be thrilled with that. David Mowale is starting. A lot of people looking at him. First 2 rounds, probably like 32 and 28 minutes, so really poor minutes. Starting, if he can get up to 40, maybe, but obviously score inflated last week. Try, line break, too many middles on the bench, I think.
Yeah, the bombshells just continue. Obviously Hastings dropped, Wong dropped, and Richie Kennard dropped as well. They just keep coming, Timmy. Super Saturday, we've got the Bulldogs and the Titans from Belmore. The Bulldogs, Knight comes in for Farmer Silly. For the Titans, no Fifita or Campbell. Foz comes back in. Jermaine Jolliffe, I believe he's in 13. Kenan Palacea on the bench. Anything to touch on in that game?
Not really. Only that, obviously good for Bowie Furmore with Foz back on the left edge, better for his attacking stats. I ended up being able to do him only use one trade last week, which was great. It did mean that I still had Keenan Palacea, so I ended up going – I wanted Terrell May badly to fix up my front row, so I ended up going Furmore out, which I was more than happy to hold him, but I also wanted to try and save a trade last week. So I went Furmore out, Palacea down to 2RF, and then got Terrell May in, which worked out fantastically because it meant that – I really didn't want to do it, hence the holding Palacea, but I was probably going to go Bostock to Tommy Taliau to fund it.
Yeah.
And then Bostock came out and killed it. Tommy Taliau got injured. But as it turned out, it sounds like the Tommy Taliau injury isn't anything too serious. He's on the extended bench. So good news for anyone who did go early on Tommy.
Yeah, but also a little lesson there on going early.
For sure. Cheapies.
Yeah, we have to be aware of because you always think it's not going to happen to me, and then the Supercoach gods just go, okay, whoosh, go.
I think going early is okay in an instance like that where you're freeing up money to facilitate another trade. Mm. But if you're doing it just for the sake of doing it, just wait.
Yeah. Dragons Cows, 5:30 p.m. from Netstrata Jubilee. Jesse Marschke named at hooker. Congratulations to him from the clouds there. Obviously, Jacob Little out with HIA this week. Leilua on the edge, Eisenhuth 13. Viliama Fifita returns on the bench, which you would think I'd be stoked about. I think you might actually lose money over the next few weeks at 200K. For the Cows, Fine Fuiaki named on the edge, which is exciting. Jack Goz was named on the bench, though, which I don't love for the 80-minute category, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll get more to Fine Fuiaki later. 55 to 60 minutes, are we thinking? Maybe even 50?
Yeah, I reckon he'll be closer to the 60 mark personally. But I've brought him into the side at the moment. The ink isn't dry yet, and Timmy's told me he's got some stats, which I'm very keen to hear. And as you all know, I am no stranger to a backflip, so brace yourselves. Tiger Shark, 7:35, Leichhardt Oval. The great Katadad will be at this one. I think she'll be signing autographs at the front desk. She's got her Supercoach team from last week printed out, ready to hand out to all of you, so brace yourself for that.
I've never actually been to Leichhardt Oval, though.
Oh,
and I live very close to there, so I'm really looking forward to that experience.
Nice. Are you going to hill it or?
Oh, yeah, we're hilling it.
Yeah, I'll back we're hilling that. It. Good year. The Wayne Pierce Hill. Okay, Tigers, Justin Olam back in, Aiden Caesar at 7, Fanua Bolle in 13, Bud Sullivan in jersey 14 for the Sharkies. Williams on the edge, Nikora out, Billy Burns toast comes onto the bench. Great little story there for your little Kuma buddy. Love that.
Jacko on the edge. I didn't see it coming, I'll tell you that much. I mean, looking at the team, I still think it's probably going to be Billy Burns, hey?
I reckon Williams will start there. Yeah, I as you know, I've been reasonably critical of Williams over the years. I've been really impressed with him so far this year.
Obviously get behind the Kuma boy. Jack, like coming all through juniors and that, certainly like earlier days, but spent time, a lot of time at center growing up. Mm. What great line runner. Got such good footwork. Obviously, in recent years, he's put on a lot of weight and he's just built like an absolute brick shit house. So I'm keen to see how he goes on the edge, but I'm excited because, gee, he runs a good line. He's it'll be a very interesting watch.
Yeah. Sunday, Arvo, got the Eels v Manly 4:05 coming to you from Combank for Para. Blaze Talangi makes his debut. Super exciting to see how he goes. Big test there, taking on that right edge for the Manly Seagulls. Harper on the wing. No Hands. Moretti has been named on the bench. No Brendan Hands. Obviously, he's made the decision to go with the 80-minute hooker, and after shit-canning him all off-season, I think he's made the right fucking decision. Lussick looks unreal. Credit to him.
Yeah, he has, but he's absolutely ripped Supercoach as a new one. Like, he said it and he stuck to his word, but it took 3 rounds to do so. It's too late.
Yeah,
I've already
it's
got
too
Danny
late.
Levi.
The damage is done. Yeah, Danny Levi.
But look, it's great news for Lussick owners and anyone who needs to fill in that cheapy hooker spot. 313K, He said, looks like he'll play 80 minutes now. Like, I don't really see anyone there that's going to take time off him at hooker.
He'll play 80. Yeah. Yeah. For Manly, obviously Tommy Talau, he drops out of the team, but he's on the extended. Vega comes into the side, so keep an eye on that situation.
Yeah, keep an eye, see what happens there. But Tommy Talau was like something like 56 in 55 minutes last week. On that, the red hot left edge. He played left edge, yeah, for Manly last week.
I was pretty drunk for that game, I'm not going to lie.
Sorry.
Yeah. I was pretty drunk for that game.
Left edge, definitely where you want to be, Manly. We're sort of thinking, that, you know, with Tommy Turbo there, right, left. Prefer left, but not a major drama. Early days with Tommy flying, left edge where you want to be. So Tommy could be a great buy next week if he plays this week.
Yeah. Knights v Storm, 6:15 p.m. coming here from Newcastle for the Knights. Tuala and Jenkins on the wings. Jack Cogger named at 7, Hastings to reserve grade. Kai Pierce-Paul remains on the edge as it stands right now. Dylan Lucas in 21, as we said, not named in New South Wales Cup. And then Jaden Brayley returns for his first game in Jersey 14. Mate, the impact of Cogger, I personally think, and maybe I'm biased, but I think Jackson's pretty harshly done by being dropped from that side. But it still would not surprise me if Jack Cogger comes in and has a very positive influence.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I agree. I think he's very hard done by. Like, they were in 10 in a row or something before getting knocked out last year by the Warriors in the finals. They were flying. Hastings was a big part of that. Yeah, I think it's very hardly done by to be sacked after 2 rounds. And Cogger, who's a very similar halfback, replaces him. So we'll see. But we saw in the grand final last year and in patches last year for Penrith, Cogger, just how much he freed up Nathan Cleary. It's interesting what he could do for Caelan Ponga.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the whole thing. I think Jackson's very hard done by, but you can see Cogger potentially just a new voice and everything, maybe having an influence on this side. So we'll see how it plays out. For the Melbourne Storm, Tyron Wishart comes into the halves. Bradley at 14. You got Howarth and Bloor on the extended bench still. Anything to touch on with Melbourne, mate?
Not really, other than Joe Chan. You know what? We'll get to him soon. But
yeah, sweet. I imagine you got some stats on Joey Chan.
No, I don't.
Good to hear.
Much better than last week, though, base-wise. Still terrible, much better.
Much better, yeah. All right, our partners for this season, Blue Wealth Property. They've got a stack coming your way Thursday, the 21st of March, which is tomorrow for those of you playing at home. Or it's today if you're listening tomorrow. But at the moment, it's tomorrow because you're listening today to me.
Yesterday if you're listening on Friday.
Yes. That's a lot to take in, yes. Thursday, 21st of March, Wealth Through Property, live via webinar. It's a 7 p.m. kickoff. Learn all you need to know about creating wealth through property. The link is below. Wednesday, the 3rd of April, buying a property through your super coach, live via webinar. That's a 7 p.m. kickoff as well, Timmy. Learn about how many Aussies are starting to invest in property via their super. You know all about that, mate?
I do, mate. Yeah. No, all about, you know, if you've got a super that looks better than my one does, you can buy property with it.
Well done. That was good gear. Wednesday, 1st of May, how to pay off your mortgage with an investment property. This is live at Sydney Olympic Park and via the webinar. It's 6:30 p.m. in the room or 7 p.m. online. Got a mortgage? Learn how an investment property can help you pay it off quicker. Something your mum and dad didn't tell you about because they didn't know. What's something that your mum and dad never told you? Little
Holy
side topic
geez,
here. I'll put you on the spot. I feel like Kat would have good ones. Anything, Kat? Oh,
I have a lot because my dad's first generation Australian.
Yes,
like I feel like that just comes with the territory. I don't know. I feel like there's just a lot of things. Don't want to bring up like generational trauma and stuff, but that not good at talking about emotions and whatnot. I feel like that's something they didn't teach me.
Leave me in the comments the number one thing your parents never told you. I thought a lot would come to mind for me straight away and none
Can
have.
I say I never got the birds and the bees talk or anything of that nature ever. Like it's that stuff does not exist in my house.
Well, I'll give you the hot tip who won't be giving it to you. me and Wimmy Tilliams. We don't have a birds and a bees in us.
I would just love
yet.
Your birds and bees, Charlie. Oh, boy.
Those birds could be anything.
All right. I want you guys to do it but with super coach analogies.
Oh, that's not bad, eh? Supercoach analogies, birds and bees chat. And then Wong fucked me. Okay. All right, mate, what have you got? Where do you want to start here? Stats deep dive or just our general cheapies chat? What are you feeling?
Let's go stat deep dive first, mate.
All right. Fine Fuiaki. Now, as I said, the ink is not dry on the contract. I am no stranger to tearing up a contract in front of another human being, and I will do it again if need be. Talk to me.
So a bit like yourself, mate, the second that Lukey went down, 21% ownership, firstly, I was devastated. Secondly, I went, okay, silver lining, Kulikefu, Fine Fuiaki, looks like he'll be a great buy. What, 290-odd K, cheapy. On what we've seen NRL-wise, what type of supercoach player do you see Fine Fuiaki being? Is there a player you could compare him to? He's played enough NRL but always in limited game time.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about who I'd compare him to, but he looks like a guy to me that would have high upside. He looks a guy to me, like I felt like on the weekend in the limited minutes he plays, he got through a lot of work. Feels like a guy that when he's on the field, they do utilize him a lot. But I'm really hesitant to say anything because I feel like you've got something up your sleeve that scares me.
Well, I was the same and I thought, look, he's going to be a big tackle busting, offloading, like Viliami kick-out type player, really explosive, really destructive. Went through his stats from the Townsville Blackhawks in Queensland Cup early last season. Really the opposite. So the first thing I looked at was minutes. Like how long can he go? He's a big boy. Does he have 80 in him? He does. He played 80 in just about all those games, which is encouraging. But round one, 11 runs, 4 tackle breaks, 0 offloads. You go, okay, 4 tackle busts in 11 runs. That's solid enough. Round two, these are all 80-minute games. 13 runs, he had 1 tackle break, no offloads. Round three, 6 runs in 80 minutes, 1 tackle break, 0 offloads. Round 4, 11 runs, bit better. 4 tackle breaks, much better, 0 offloads. Round 5, 13 runs, the best of those 5 rounds, 1 tackle break, 0 offloads. It really surprised me. I was expecting to see 7-8 tackle busts, freeing the arm, a few offloads. Yeah, look, I wasn't convinced by it at all. And he's going up from Q Cup level to NRL level. Sure, there'll be better players around him, but it doesn't read great.
Yeah, no, it doesn't read great. I'm just having a look through his NRL stats over the last year or so. It's not as impressive as I thought it would be. That's very fair.
And I did the same before round one with Joe Chan. I thought, you know, big minute back rower, go and have a look at his Q Cup stats, and the work rate was terrible. There wasn't sort of a lot of tackle busting or offloading, and it certainly in terms of his base in a couple of games in the NRL, that's shone through and been quite similar. So I'm a little bit reserved with Fine Fuiaki, and I'm thinking that maybe I'm going to have a look at him this week. I still think he'd be a good buy. I just want to see his minutes and I want to see his output.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I will still buy him. I'm going to just back in the eye test on what I see. I like looking at him. I mean, I'm just having a look at his stats from the weekend. He only played the 55 minutes, but he had 2 tackle breaks, 50 post contact. He had an offload, 15 touches of the footy, 21 tackles, didn't miss any. So I get why you're hesitant. Yep. I do 100%. It makes sense. I think I will still go him this week at the moment. But, I mean, as every single goddamn player we're going to talk about, Timmy, if you have an opportunity to sit back and watch them for the extra week, always take it.
Yeah, and the break even is 22-odd, so, like, you don't need to rush on it. Mate, just quick, before we move on to the next player, shout out to Andrew Mortimer, Blue Elf Property, elected to the Canterbury Leagues Club board over the weekend. Boy. Can you, like, Mortimer, Rugby League, Canterbury Bulldogs, immortality onto their board?
That is unreal. Congratulations to you, Morts. We absolutely love that. One of the great fellas, mate.
He's a legend.
I mean, I'll tell you what, the Canterbury Bulldogs, they're starting to stack up some pretty notable supercoach personalities.
They are, yeah. Between DeRussy and Mortimer, a few big names.
If you need a new halfback and 5'8", reach out.
We're ready.
We are ready. What position would you play, Kat?
Oh, I think based off results, I'd be the manager, wouldn't I?
Fucking please.
Touche.
But I reckon I'd be a good hooker.
Oh my god!
Don't make that weird.
Was that
stoked
like,
you said it, not
I
me?
I know we'd be in awesome just, if we
you
said
can't.
It.
You can't be doing that. That's hit me for six. What am I meant to say? That
all right, cat? Fine. I'd be a great nine.
A great nine. Okay,
it's also sweet. My lucky number. Good. Let's move on.
Let's move on to anything else. Okay. Good God, Kat.
I'll take us back, mate. Jacob Kiraz.
Take us back.
Jacob Kiraz. A lot of questions around people asking: should they sell Jacob Kiraz? He's done almost not what quite what we expected, but not far off it. Averaging 48 points across the first two games, it's like all base and power. So he's averaging 38 in base across two games, but he's had 9 tackle breaks and 2 offloads. Again, by his standards last year, probably down a little bit, but good numbers. No tries, no assists, no line breaks, no line break assists. You give it, like with the matchup against the Titans this week, you give him one more week and hopefully a few attacking stats come.
With all due respect, this is exactly what I was expecting.
Yeah.
He's in a shit team
yeah.
with new combinations. They're not going to score that many points. And he's scoring 49 and 47 and averaging 48. Like, you can't be upset with that. If you knew going into this with this Canterbury side, you were going to have to be patient with points. He's scoring well. If I had him, I wouldn't have an issue with what I'm getting. This is what I expected to get.
Like, I'd be certainly happy to give him another week. And if the Dogs look clunky against the Titans of all teams at Belmore, big day for them, and can't put points on, I'd be very concerned. I'd look to move him on. But this is the week where he can repay the faith of owners.
I like him this. I like them and him this week.
Yeah,
I think they're a good shot.
No Fifita, no Campbell. Looks good.
If they
do not win this weekend, there's some serious issues at the Doggies. This one is 100% in their favour.
It's a big week for them. They do need to win this one. How good? We got Belmore and Leichhardt this weekend.
No, I'm away all weekend. I'd love to have doubled up with those two. What cracking games they'll be.
What do you got on this weekend?
What a wedding in Griffith.
Oh, Little Italy.
Yeah.
Simon Benetti country.
Heading a long way west, mate. So, bid on.
Love that.
Should I do a double header, guys? Should I do the Belmore and then the Leichhardt trip?
You double dip the chip. Yes, you should. Why not?
Why not?
It'd be the best weekend of your life.
Have you been to Belmore before?
I have, but I've been for Sydney Olympic, which is the NPL club. I've let you down there. I'm sorry.
No, I haven't been to Belmore before. You haven't been to Belmore for a Canterbury game? You haven't been to Belmore.
We don't really ever make edits or cuts on this show, but if we're ever going to, that's it.
Yeah, this might shock everyone at home, but we're not big Sydney Olympic guys, whatever the hell that is.
NPR, what you
NPL, NPL, the National Premier League. So
you entered non-playing reserve game or? No, okay.
The NPL people. I'm sure there are some people out there that watch both.
I love my before they come at me, I do love my soccer / and or football.
You do. We've bonded over Liverpool and whatnot. But anyway.
I'm not around my NPL.
It's just the league below the A-League for those that are wondering.
Where's Sydney Olympic from? Are they?
So their home ground is Belmore.
Yeah.
And they're traditionally a Greek club. So they have a lot of the Greeks that immigrated to Australia back in like the 50s and 60s started that club.
Yeah.
So they're called Sydney Olympic, but yeah, they're part of the NPL. So they were also part of the expansion that's happening in the second division that they're creating as well.
Yeah, cool. Shout out to my favourite Greek player of all time, Nick Kouperitsis. Remember him, Timmy?
I do. Doggies.
Doggies, yeah. Good player.
I've always actually been a Wollongong Wolves fan, Kat, so there you
have
go.
Have you?
Yeah.
There you go. Very nice.
Tell you what, Nick Kouperitsis getting a bait on, wasn't on my bingo card today. Shout out to him. Let's talk about the X-Man. Xavier Savage, I'm an owner, you're not.
Mm-mm.
Which shocks me because when we caught up with those Raiders boys the other day, mate, they were talking about him like he was Mal Meninga down there. They were loving him.
Yeah, he's looking good early. Great signs for Savage, great signs for the Raids. Supercoach wise, I'd be very happy if I owned. I'm not looking to buy. I'm actually really happy with how my CT dubs panned out so far, so don't need to sort of make any moves there. just around his base, mate. So on the weekend, Raiders, convincing winners, he had 9 runs and 3 tackles. He based 16 in that game. He based 22 the week before. Look, we know that Savage is going to be fairly attack reliant. He's also 350K, so he's cheap. You're not expecting the world. But games upcoming, it's the Warriors over there, then the Sharkies in Cronulla. Like, I wouldn't have him very high on my buy radar. If he keeps getting attacking stats, there'll be good coin. But there could also be a 20-point score at any given week that stunts that cash growth.
Yeah, if you've got him, stoked, but I wouldn't go out of my way to buy. I'd rather wait this week and see if Tommy Talau plays and jump on him potentially. There's a few other options. But as a Savage owner, I am happy with him now that I've got him. Front row forward guns.
Yeah, so you like this one, mate. I mean, we bang down the door about it. Every single season from round one, it's just not – we don't see it. It's not saying it's the right or the wrong move, but we've never seen it as the place to go early. Like with your – if you're paying up top dollar for a player, you want it in a position where they can go big and score their 150s. Now, we've never seen that as being front row because them going big is 80 or 90 points. And this season, to be fair, has probably been slightly different in that front row forward – at least for the first week before everyone jumped on Terrell May, was pretty problematic. So if you did part for like Hassel, Tino had the bye, AFB, you're probably going, okay, I'm happy with this. And the big dogs like Cleary and Hines didn't necessarily go big. Mm. But in terms of the front row forwards to start the season after 2 weeks, I just thought I'd touch on them quickly. Adam Fanua-Blake, actually we'll go from the highest price for round one down. Tino, 790K, scored 64 in round one, had the buy in round two. Well below his value. Payne Haas, 750K across 2 rounds, is averaging 67 points per game. Well below his starting price. Adam Fanua-Blake, that big round one score was the exception. So he's averaging 76.5, which is around about what he's priced at. With the 50 to his name in round two, he could be actually set for price drops if he can't go big against the Raiders. Joey Tarpany, 656K, is averaging 49, well below his average. We then go down to Mitch Barnett, the fifth highest priced front rower. He's averaging 49. Jack DeBellum was 6, averaging 47. Mate, I'll go down the averages from there, 55, 35, 46, 33, 52, 47. It's just not the place to pay up.
Nope, they're not going to hurt you. You're not going to miss them. And you're right, it probably has been a slightly better year for them.
Yeah.
Still not going to miss them.
But at the same time, like, you're now getting in someone like a Terrell May who's scoring better than all of them and is, like, Terrell May to Tino, 340K cheaper. 300K cheaper than Payne Haas, outscoring him. Great buy. You know, someone like Ruben Cotto who went big on the weekend. It's not easy to nail these mid-range front rows from round one. Ideally, you don't want to be burning too many trades on front
– stop. I mean, it's the only thing I nailed.
Yeah. front row forward. But, yeah, so – but, like, if you can get those, the mid-ranges in from round two or whatever, let them build their cash, plug a hole, do a job, I do think that's been reinforced.
Man, Cotter's appealing. I don't trust we're going to get it every week. I kind of want to avoid Cowboys middles this year.
And because we like them a lot as a team, they're a bit scrappy on the weekend, but we think they're in for a big year. We know that Taumalolo, they've already said basically, if they're winning games by margins, they've got a good draw to start the year. Taumalolo's getting a very early shower, but Cotter, we look at round one, he's going to be the same. In games that are tight, he'll probably play big minutes, but there could be a lot of early showers for him.
There should be a lot of early showers too with an Origin series incoming and whatnot.
He had 65 minutes with 65 in base on the weekend.
He's a maniac. Oh. Absolute maniac. All right, is that stats done and dusted?
Yep, sorted.
All right, so now what we're going to do – actually, do you want to take this, Timmy?
Yeah, sure, mate, no dramas. Break evens. So we're looking at
– Beers and break-evens, title of the show. See what we did there?
Yeah, we're good at what we do. Cheapies, biggest trade week of the season, arguably for the reasons aforementioned. We've had a look at players.
Aforementioned?
Good word, hey.
Who the fuck are you?
Just saying.
It's very impressive.
I'm partial to an aforementioned.
Yeah, thank you.
It summarizes a lot of what you just said.
It covers so much.
It's really great.
Makes you sound intelligent. Really a very basic word.
You sounded like a genius. I love that. Proceed.
So we're going to go down the list of the players with the lowest break evens. To anyone new to it, I'll reiterate this because it is very important. Break even, the score a player needs to hit the following week to make or lose money. Zach Hosking, negative 56. We're just going to go through a few of them that we haven't already touched on. We've spoken about Zach Hosking, Joey Lussick. My question around Lussick, mate, with a negative 54 break even, we agree he's a great buy. But there's lots of people. Danny Levi is the, I think, fifth or sixth most traded out player this week. People are going Levi to Lussick. We're both Levi owners. We don't own Lussick. What are your thoughts on that?
Would I rather have Lussick? Yes. Do I want to waste a trade on doing that? Not for me. I've sort of thrown this up all night, and a lot of my thinking has come from our conversation earlier today. Mm. But I think it just makes sense that, yes, Lussick is the better player, the better option, but he's 80 grand more expensive. He has scored attacking stats the last 2 weeks as well. If neither of them scores attacking stats, Lussick still beats him by a significant margin. But I just think, mate, like I'm looking at Harry Grant. He's at 750K. That's my goal at hooker. So far he's scored 49 and 61. He's going to drop money. I think with the money I'll make from Levi, which might not be as much as Lussick, I think I'll make enough to be able to get to Harry Grant. That's my logic.
I'm with you, mate. And you even say, like, if neither of those – like, there's so many similarities in those two players. If Lussick – if neither of them get attacking stats, you say Lussick scores significantly more. I think he scores, like, 40 without him because he's got the extra minutes now.
Yeah.
I think if Levi gets no attacking stats, I think he gets anywhere from 25 to 30. But there's also an 80K difference in them.
Yeah.
They're both playing with gun forward packs where they're going to have – attacking opportunities. When there's other things to sort out in a team, in a position where I don't really want to play my reserve hooker anyway, I've got Reece Robson there. I'm very happy with him. The goal will be, like you, to get him to Harry Grant, probably about round 5 or 6 when Harry hopefully drops a bit and hopefully Robson can peak and earn another 50 to 100K. So I'm more than happy with Levi.
Yeah, I think it's a real luck. You know what? I don't even know if it's a luxury trade. I just think it's a waste. I don't know if you're going to make enough money to make it worthwhile with those trades. And I think it'll be one that you look back on in 25 weeks' time and you got no trades left and go, did I have to swap my fringe hookers that I never used?
And the other thing is, like, the Raiders are winning, looking awesome. Daniel Levi's played really well. He's going to get his 55 to 60 minutes.
And you know what? Two weeks ago, Timmy, and we'll talk about it as we move on, there was no cheapies in existence. Mm. Now there's a fucking heap of them. I don't think hooker's the spot that you need to pull it all apart.
No, not at all. And yeah, we're going to have a bit of a chat about the cheapie scene, but it'll sort of naturally happen as we go. And I mentioned after round one, it looked diabolical, the cheapies on offer. Round two team list came out and went, okay, there's a few that have cropped up here. Round two played out and a lot of the cheapies, Tane Torpicky, Jack Bostock, a lot of these guys performed, Ethan Strange, and you go, okay, this is looking a lot better in a very short period of time. I think I mentioned on the podcast last night, I've got nine players in my squad of 25 that have negative break evens this week. This is before I make trades this week. I think I've got 12 that have a break even of like 11 or below. So I'm stoked with the money that's hopefully coming through. Probably make two trades this week, blokes with negative break-evens. That could be 11 with negative break-evens. There's money coming.
Yeah, 100%. It's looking a lot better now. One of those guys looking better, he's got the bye this weekend, but Jack Bostock, mate, 314K, negative 26 break-even. We're up there on the weekend, and boy, oh boy, did we get excited when he went down the left touch line. Found Hamisa on the inside. Thanks for coming.
And we were looking at it end on from the end that it happened from, and you saw him take off, pop a ball to Hammer. As soon as Hammer was in space, there wasn't anyone within cooey of him. You're just like, thank you. As someone who was – so I really didn't want to go Bostock to Talia, but I needed Terrell May in my front row because it was such a shit show. To have held on Bostock and see him come out and score that, he looked good. The Dolphins looked good. If you don't own him, terrific trade in next week.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it, because he's got the bye this week. You can trade him in next week, whether it be a Salmon, a Hutcho, or someone that hasn't done overly well for
Actually,
you.
Actually, very annoying that bye for people who did start with him.
Yes, yeah, you're not really getting rewarded for it. Still, people are going to have to, you know, flush a trade. But
still an important trade to use this week.
Yep. Mate, Burbo, is there much to touch on here with Burbo? No. Just is what he is.
Get him.
Similar finder is an interesting one. Came on the score to Meat Pie last week. 263K, only two RF, so I don't think I'll be able to find a place for him. Fuck, if he was dual, which he probably should be a little bit more of a conversation.
Yeah, I think I'd, again, fortunately with the Tigers having the bye week one, we can have another look at him this week. And if he looks good enough, more so gets the minutes, then, yeah, he'll be a potential buy next week. But I think I'd need to see him starting.
Josh Kerr there, dual position, negative 25, scored a try in the first week. Mate, I think with Ray Stone coming back soon, I wouldn't be surprised if Kemi Bromwich comes into this side. Maxi Plathers emerges a 13. I'm probably less interested in Josh Kerr. I think there's better options around.
Yeah, look, I'm not super interested, but the minutes were good. He does have a great offload on him. Mm. I like him as a footballer. You know, he's been starting, started on the weekend. Didn't start. Don't know.
Can't remember. Was pretty drunk for that game.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, it wasn't ideal. I don't mind him. I'm going to see how the front row plays out this week. Just get another look at a few players. But yeah, the next one on the list, I'll say what I said on last night's podcast and then I'll throw it to you. Ronaldo Mulitalo. I do not know if he's getting 150 points this weekend or if he's getting 7 points this weekend, so I'm giving no advice. What do you think? Because he's heavily traded in with a negative 24 break even.
Yeah, oh, mate, I feel exactly the same. I don't know what to do with him. I'm going for a different CTW gun, not as a moneymaker, just because I think he's an absolute fucking weapon. We'll talk about that soon. He just feels like a gamble. I feel like I never get Mulitalo right, and I could be wrong, but I feel like you're kind of in the same boat. We're very hit and miss with him.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Like no one knows with Mulitalo.
Mate, I still remember we got a train out to Origin maybe 2 years ago, and the whole train ride, you did not shut up about Mulitalo, and I got off that train and went, I'm trading that fucker in. He's my guy. He didn't score a try for about 3 weeks. I traded him out. Then he scored a billion. I was just like, this is insane.
Yeah. That's what I said. I'm not giving comment because whatever I say will be wrong with Ronaldo. It is every time.
Well, mate, honestly, the train you gave on that speech that night, the Tigers would have signed him as their halfback. It was
King
incredible.
King Theodon-esque. Mate, Tane Torpicky, I'm an owner. I'm a very happy owner. My question to you, you don't own him?
No, I don't own him. No.
Question is, need 21 break even. Basing awesome, lots of runs, lots of tackle busts. Ball playing was a bit better on the weekend. Mm. Interested or too scared about chance?
Honestly, mate, I am a little bit worried about chance, but I also, and I think it's a big thing that people need to take in, you don't need every single cheapie.
Yeah.
Like I've got cheapie spots that I'm happy with. I've got Salmon and Hutcho who haven't set the world alight, but I can see myself moving Ethan Strange next week to CTWs to get Galvin in. I think at this time of the year, mate, people panic a little bit too much about getting every single cheapie. Like you can't miss out on any of them. You have got to miss out on one or two of them. As long as your other ones are doing well, you know, I'm going to have Savage. You're going to have Torpicky. I think we're going to end up at a relatively pretty similar spot coming out of there. So, yeah, I mean, if I had him, I'd be stoked. But not having him, I'm happy with the rest of my cheapies that I don't think I need to chase.
I think
him.
In particular, as I said, most people's CT dubs are pretty good.
Yep.
You know, there might be a few out there carrying like Hutcho and Salmon who have a few queries there. But again, they've got great matchups against the Titans this week. They're both, obviously, Hutcho's playing 80. Salmon, look, I don't rate him too much and he'll be on the chopping block for owners. But he's still playing decent minutes. If you can jag some attack this week, probably worth another look. People's CT dub cheapies are pretty good, generally speaking. So, yeah, Ethan Strange, neg 21, lock and load him in teams. Raven Fatale and Mariner off the bench this week. No, thank you. Look, we can keep going, mate, but...
Don't you dare stop there. My boy, I love this guy, man. Maxi Plath. Like maybe not Supercoach wise, I'm not quite sure. Yeah. I'm devastated I missed out on him in draft last week. But my God, I just love everything about this kid, eh? And what about when we had Ray Stone on KO the other day? Ray Stone, like a brick with eyes, couldn't get any emotion out of him, nothing. We brought up Max Plath. It's like he was talking about his firstborn.
Yeah, I'm still shaking from
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't sitting next to him. Looked terrifying down that end of the table.
Testosterone levels have never been lesser. He's the world's – God, he's intimidating.
If you had to draw like a scale and put humans somewhere, how far would the gap be between Ray Stone and Dwayne Bennett that you had to sit next to?
Mate, I went
it might be polar opposites.
I went from Ray Stone to Matty Buxton.
That's great.
Oh my goodness. Awesome dude, by the way. Just tough as nails.
Yeah, just terrifying. Like, yeah. Check your bed. Check under your bed before you go to sleep, sort of stuff. Raymond might be hanging
stone
under there
in the cupboard.
Yeah, mate. Anyone else on that list? I noticed Davey Mwale starting this week. I feel like I've sprinted into the Davey Mwale trap a few more times than I'm willing to admit. Cat's favorite Jacob Gagai not on the side anymore. Joe Chan's there. Tyrell Sloan.
Joe Chan neg 15. Like, what's his ownership at? Not sure, but. Must have. 238K, Storm 2 from 2. He's not going to base his way to a good score, but that beautiful little inside ball to Pappy, some nice attacking stats. I think you got to have him, don't you?
I'll tell you what, I'm getting a bit of PTSD reading through this list. Tyrell Sloan at 16th overall, Sonny Luke at 18. There's a couple of skeletons in the closet looking at me there.
Now to Guru's trades, Tyrell Sloan.
I'm not doing it this year. I've made a declaration. It's not happening this week. Yeah, mate, anyone else to touch on there?
No, I think we got all the main ones there, mate.
All the shout out to everyone that traded in Zach Laybutt in week one too.
Oh, God.
Tried to warn you. God, I tried to warn you. Oh, boy. Okay, mate, can we just touch quickly? What trades are we thinking about this week?
I am – oh, God. It's so tough.
Yeah.
It's very tough. Look, I haven't ruled out a boost. For the record, I think it is a great week to boost, especially if you were able to save a trade or two last week. I'm looking probably two trades this week. I'm tossing up Braden Trindle to Luke Brooks. It makes sense on so many levels. Trindle started terribly. I was saying last night, but yes, there were some terrible drop balls, but I think he looks okay, and I think there's attacking stats coming. But, God, I can't afford to get to round five and him keep punching out 20s for me. Look, if it was a tough draw, I would have no reservations. But he's got the Tigers this week. They've got 2 to 3 really, like, not difficult games in a row, at least defensively speaking. So, look, on what I've seen from Brooksy, I think he looks great. I think Manly look terrific. I think they can knock theirs off and put on a few points this weekend. So I'm thinking Trindle to Brooks. I've got about 78K to play with going into the round. And then... just tossing up what to do with – I've got Palacia, who won't change price this week, and Helam Lukey injured, so I'll get rid of one of, if not both of those guys. I do like Josh Curran. My only concern with him, and I'll throw it to you for it, is that inflated minutes the first 2 weeks. So round one, Fox went off injured, Salmon went to the wing, so it opened up minutes in the middle, and he played big game time off the bench. On the weekend, Paiso Farmacilli went off first minute of the game. Curran straight on, bigger minutes.
Thoughts? I'm not convinced he is playing bigger minutes, if I'm being completely honest with you. I said this in the preseason. I mean, he played 60 both weeks. They've got no fucking middles. I reckon there's every chance he plays 60 every
But week. Like the big minute middle in Salmon had to go to the wing. And
but he didn't play 13. Kurt Mann came on.
Yeah, another middle. Yeah,
I think they are so shot through the middle, and I think Serrato has made the decision to play him off the bench once that first 20 minutes is over. Then he goes on and plays big minutes.
Do you think he'll come on and play like 60 straight each week?
I reckon he will. Yeah, I reckon he plays the back half of the first half, has a spell at half time, and then goes out and plays the remaining 40. That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. Look, I'm keen on him, just asking the question. So I'm eyeing off that trade as well at this stage.
And I mean, mate, like even if his minutes are inflated from the weekend, like as I said, he played 60. I can't see him playing any less than 50, 55.
Well, I thought the same. Yeah. I think the same, I should say.
Yeah.
And look, I suppose the other reality is that it is so often that there's an injury these days, a HIA, and anything. And with a four forward bench at the Doggies, Salmon is the bloke that's going out to the back. So if one of the five goes down, or one of the seven goes down, I should say, Salmon's going out. That's going to open up time. So, yeah, look, I like the trade. I'm probably going to get him.
Yeah, I had my heart set on him at the start of the weekend, and then obviously Fine Filiaki popped up, so he's caught my attention. But my trades this week, Timbo, what I'm looking at, and I'm going a little bit of a Rogosaurus over here. Obviously, Wong, I had to farewell him, which was an emotional time. I had to let go of Helam Lukey, so I've brought in two RFs. I've got Curran as one of them, and I've got Fine Filiaki at the moment. Get your popcorn, Timbo. We're going large.
I'm excited.
All right. I said all off-season that I think Nico Hines' points will regress a little bit this year. Got called every name under the sun. I stand by it. I think that Trindle is just a lot. You know what? He's not even too ball dominant. He's just more ball dominant than what Moylan was. And I think it's taking points off him. I think it'll be better for Cronulla Sharks long term. But I think for Supercoach wise, I'm not overly convinced. I also think, you know, everyone's going this game against the Tigers. Nico's going to kill it. I'll tell you who else is going to be excited to get the Tigers. Braden Trindle. He's going to look for the football, I'm confident. I reckon Trindle scores well this week. I'm going to sell Nico. I want to free up cash. I want to free up cash to go elsewhere. Now, has not having Nico bit me on the ass before? You may remember 180 gate. Yes, it has. But I'm doubling down. I'm going to trade out Nico this week. And I'll tell you what, I reckon that this Cogger move could make KP very interesting, which is why I'm selling Hines, not KP. We'll get to that, though. Hines, I look at his draw over the next few weeks. It is pretty nice, to be fair. There is a buy coming up. I just don't trust this combination at the moment. So what I'm going to do, I'll tell you what, Timmy, hit the music and I'll tell you when to stop because there's going to be plenty of chair movement here. Hutcho, he moves into my second halfback, which is disgraceful, absolutely disgusting. But I need to free up that cash to spend it elsewhere. That leaves me with a CTW spot open. And, mate, one guy that has caught my eye to start this season is Val Holmes. I think he has been sensational. I don't think there is any questioning that he is the best New York Jets running back in this competition, and I am bringing him straight in. He had an absolute shocker last week, like absolute shocker. He scored 54. I like the way the Cowboys are playing. Even last week when they looked disgraceful and they couldn't complete a set, my guy scored 54. I think the Cowboys are going to be a very good footy side this year. Val's going to be kicking goals left, right, and center. I'm going to bring in Val Holmes and sort of, I guess, could you call him a bit of a pod play, Timmy?
Well, look, I can't load anything with the internet in here at the moment, so I can't check his exact ownership, but I would imagine that Val would be a pod play, yes.
He is currently owned by, I can't see. He is currently owned by 11%, which is probably more than I thought he would be.
That's very pod, though.
Yeah, still good. Pod. Yeah.
I don't like it. I like Val. I don't like selling Nico. From a beers and break evens cut perspective, I love that you're selling Nico.
Yep.
If it was tougher matchups, I'd be like, yep, all right, all good. I can see the merit in it. Likely to drop some decent coin. If he does have one or two bad weeks, he could drop a heap of coin. But again, I can't load it. But they've got the Sharks, I think they've got the Tigers. They've got the Raiders at some point, and it might be like a Dragons or a Bulldogs. It wouldn't be Bulldogs. It's a good draw to come.
Yeah, I'm not convinced by the role that he's playing. So he plays the Tigers this week, then he plays the Raiders, then they've got a bye, then they play South Sydney and the Cowboys. Like,
what round's the bye?
Round 5.
Yeah, it's good.
Mate, like, there's every chance I trade Nico back in a couple of weeks, but I think he's going to lose money over the next few weeks.
Well, you'd realistically trade him back probably around 6.
Probably. There's every chance I do. Yeah,
which is fine.
Which is, and that's the other thing I want to obviously mention is that I'm making all these moves and stuff. Like, at the end of this week, I've used 3 trades. I didn't use one last week, so I'm happy with where I'm sitting there, and I'm going to have 500K in the bank. After that, I plan to move Ethan Strange to CTW and sell the week got a dog, and then bring in Lockie Galvin at 5'8", which is just going to free me up a little bit more cash as well. What I like to do is, and as you said before, this week's the most important trade week, and I agree with you, but I also like to see what everyone does in these weeks. and then just watch over the next 2 weeks and maybe you lose the first price bump. But I like to see guys that do well in week three to then grab them after
there,
that.
There's a lot of players that have a break even of around about 20 this week that I want to have another look at. And Fini Fuiaki is one of them.
Yep.
I think Pappy's similar that I'm like, you know what? I'll cop a 40K rise if they go well enough. But if that reaffirms that they're a good buy and I don't waste a trade, so be it.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing that I've learned over the last year since I've got right into Classic, especially with you, is that don't be scared to miss out on the first price range if it gives you certainty of who these guys are. So yeah, I'm going to have a bit of cash to splash over the next few weeks. I'm going to happily sit back and watch a Val Holmes carve it up for the cows. And yeah, that's my play. You know, I like to go a little bit rogue. I'm probably on the more gambling side with Supercoach. Timmy's probably a little bit safer. Amazingly, we tend to meet
at the same score at the same line point
every
25.
Goddamn year. It's insane. But yeah, Tim's is probably more direct. Mine's a bit of a squiggly line that normally has three Tyrell Sloanes that I've bumped into on the way.
It's going to make watching Nicho Hynes so much more enjoyable.
It sure is. Nicho, I think I'll have to go live on the Instagram page on the story for every Nicho game.
Geez.
Hiding behind the couch and whatnot. That'll be good.
Yeah. Enjoy it.
Rise, Tigers. Rise.
Give us something.
How good would that be? All right, mate, captains this week. Obviously, Nicho Hynes is a shocking option. So who else are you looking at?
VC Nicho, C Sir Thomas Trbojevic.
Yeah, I think captaining Tommy's going to be very hard to overlook.
Wouldn't hate getting a captain right in 2024 either.
I'd be okay with it, just the occasional one.
Ponga like 50 in round one. Tommy Turbo on the weekend scored, I think it was 54 or 55. Manly looked good, scored plenty of points. He didn't have a try assist, line break, line assist. I'm like, in what world? Anyway. I'll shut up now.
They'll come.
Freaking oath, they'll come.
$2.40 for an ATS this week, Turbo. Oh. Thanks for coming. Yeah, I will probably go VC Nath on Friday night, and then I'll probably captain Turbo on Sunday is the direction I'm looking at. Kathmandu, got any idea of trades or captaincies this week? You going to play Hynes this week or what? Geez, tough week for Hynes. Gets left out of Cat's team, gets dropped from mine.
I can't tell you how much I regret that, by the way. 75 points on
the bench. Who did you play instead?
I actually would rather not even say. Like, it's truly lucky that I scored what I scored with the with what I did to my bench. But it was because I had every intention of VCing Hynes. So I didn't reserve him and then I saved it and I messed it up. Anyway.
It's the most rook thing of all time.
Yeah, it screams rook. So I've got Lukey and I've got Wong. So I'm definitely going to get rid of both of those this week. I'm not quite sure who I'm going to get in yet. I've just been taking notes during the show. So hopefully in the next 15 or so I'll make a decision. And then captaincy-wise, I'm doing the VC on Cleary and definitely captaining Turbo because, as you both know, big Turbo fan over here.
Bankwest, Combank, whatever the hell it's called these days. I don't know.
How the fuck did she beat me this week? She got the exact same team as me. And she left Hynes out.
Do you say you're selling one or you're holding for a week?
No, I'm going to sell him.
Yeah. Tiny violins.
So sad. Very tough. Yeah, I can't. I have to look at him for the rest of the year in my draft bench. I'm not doing it in Classic as well.
Yeah, fair call.
I mentioned it yesterday in our when you did the team list Tuesdays. But when Guru was sitting at the bench over there and was reading the team lists, he sees that Wong's not made it. It was visceral reaction. He was so upset. Nothing could have prepared me for a team list Tuesday with Rugby League Guru.
Oh, just scratching the surface. That's wonderful.
It's an emotional roller coaster for him.
I'm not one to hide my emotions. You all know that. And yesterday was a tough day.
After last weekend, I reckon Val will probably get dropped for Sammy Val as well. So
mate,
if you could live stream that, that'd be great.
Right. it's been a tough season. It's been tough so far. All right. Are we done and, as Kempy would say, doosted?
We are done and doosted, mate. To anyone who hasn't jumped in our Unlimited League yet, if you want a free crack at winning $6,000, the code is 339640. Take us on. We'll shut that off at some point, but you're good to go for a while.
Cat will put it in there somewhere. Yeah, make sure you come join. I think it locks out in round 13 this year.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Round 13. We normally do just before the origin period, don't we?
Yeah. But I think like they lock it out this year. I believe so. Yeah.
Huge.
So make sure you get yourselves in there, you and your fucking 17 sniper teams, you bunch of dogs out there. But make sure you get in there. Now, top scorer, we forgot again from the week as I scramble to find out who top scored in our competition. Beers Matt, and break Pitch. Evens. The top scorer for this week was...
Mate, I'll find something to talk about in the meantime. Zach Lomax, the only tick from that game up in Redcliffe. We went through Eisenhuth, 38 minutes, pass. Raymond Fatala Mariner, 51 minutes, scored 34, pass. Kyle Flanagan, 21 in 80 minutes, pass. All blokes we were looking at last week. Zach Lomax, in that absolute shellacking, still scored 44 with 36 in base. So... while the attacking output of the Dragons, big concern for Lomax, got through his work. So it's a good sign.
Let's go, mate. Top scorer this week was Matthew, and shout out to his team name, which has hit me for six. MK's Big Cummers.
Savage.
What is doing? I wish it was Dino's Dropkicks or Stupid Sexy Gamble. That would have been much better. But Matthew, congratulations. Reach out to beersandbreakevens@gmail.com. Send me your home address. For the love of God, this year, send me your home address. Do not send me an email saying, thanks. What am I meant to do with that? Send me your home address. I'm applying an idiot rule this year, Timmy. If you don't send me your home address, you don't get a football.
Yeah.
You got that? Loud and clear.
For anyone that doesn't send the address, we get an extra football. So
we do, yes. Now, on the footballs and the hats, they're getting produced at the moment. We have got a few left over in stock, which we'll be sending out, but there will be more coming. We'll keep you notified as they come. But please send your home address. Send something in the email. Give me something. I don't know where you live, in no shock to anyone. All right. Are we done? The guy that's leading our comp right now, his name is Turbo's Hammy. That is the worst omen of all time, yeah. Potentially. I fucking hate that.
Dangerous.
Yeah, that's very just. I wish I didn't do that now. Anyway, okay, we'll see you next week. SC Playbook last night.
SC Playbook last night. Rando on debut. Random right. Stats guy. He was awesome. You'd be stunned to know he came with some good random stats.
What was his most random?
He had some good gear against, not a surprise to the system, and probably not that random to be fair, but just around how horrifically fullbacks score in Penrith.
Yep.
Talking about Reece Walsh and people looking, bringing him in. It was something like three fullbacks in 2 years have scored over 50 points at Penrith. And like that's probably taken into consideration games where they've rested players. And
yeah.
I know Gutho was one from when he goal kicked and got over 51 game. But yeah, some good gear. So Desi Creek on as well, the 2019 NRL Supercoach champion. Got through some good stuff, mate.
How's Desi going? What's he up to?
Desi's good. He's... you know, working away, sort of.
I'm a big Desi guy.
He's, always brings a left field thought to Supercoach.
One of the great wild cards I've ever met.
Yeah, he is. Late show tonight as well.
Yeah, late show tonight coming your way at 8 p.m. So be there or be square.
We're going to do our best to really differentiate it from the questions from this podcast and go some rogue plays, some pods, chat about some different things. So tune in, it'll be a good listen, I'm sure.
And if you're not already, we'll put the link in the description. Come and join the Roo Crew. Heap of absolute dribble that I'm vomiting in there. A lot going on. And every Friday, every Thursday, Friday, I'm going to put my Supercoach trades in there. So if you would like to see those, come and join. We've got some Supercoach stats coming there in the next week or two as well that are going to blow your mind. If your mind is in the blown category, it's coming your way. So stay tuned for that. Kat will put that in the description. Make sure you go follow Kat, her dad. And for the love of God, can someone come and watch our show that we did last night, the catch up? I reckon it is unreal content, going through all the social media stuff that has happened throughout the week. Me and Kat are thoroughly enjoying that one, aren't we?
Yeah, it's really fun. I think it's the stuff that a lot of us see throughout the weekend and whatnot, but I think the banter around it and having to chat about it and giving our thoughts. And also it's a perspective that we don't often get from you as well, Guru, because you're a stats man. You're the guru, as you know, aptly named. But it's good to get your thoughts sometimes on the more lighthearted stuff, you know? Well,
yeah. Yeah. It's good gear. Go and watch it. It's on YouTube. It's on the Rugby League Guru podcast. We are done. We will see you tonight on the Late Show.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.